friends. Today, I'm talking about the impact of stress when it comes to under-eating, right? The harmful effects of what low-calorie diets do, but also how many calories should we consume? I am joined with, this is her third time being on the podcast. We talked about repressed emotions not too long ago, but I love Carrie Cootie. She's an in real life friend, and she's went from pharmaceuticals to natural medicine. And she just has this wealth of information when it comes to just food, nutrition, healing the body. And you're going to hear from her today talking about what symptoms show up in our bodies whenever we start to undereat. And if anything, our goal in this episode is to just open your mind to different narratives, to maybe get you to think in a holistic way of how your body is operating. It's not just calories in, calories out. And more than likely, you need to be eating more than 1200 calories. And we talk definitely about that because being in the health and fitness world for 12 years, I have seen the harmful effects of low calorie diets or this narrative that you have to eat 1200 calories to lose weight. And what it's actually doing is preventing our bodies to do their job, which is to take care of us. So really, we're diving deep into this season and I have so much goodness coming your way. But before we get to this episode, I wanted to share with you an opportunity to text me. Yes, I want to go deeper with you. I want to get to know you. Now, all you have to do is text podcast to 724-578-5229. Again, you're going to text podcast to 724-578-5229. Now, maybe you're probably thinking, I'm driving or you're walking or whatever it is. Don't worry, just head to the show notes below, scroll up, and you'll be able to get the phone number right there. But text me, and then guess what? It's really me on the other end. It's not a bot or anything like that, but I really want to be able to send you podcast links or show notes or things that are coming, but really just to get to know you. So make sure you text me, podcast at 724-578-5229. All right, now let's go ahead and get to the episode. Carrie, I am pumped to have you back to join us in this season. You know, I love having my friends on here. I think this is your third time. You probably heard Carrie before on how, you know, repressed emotions affect our bodies. And today in this season, you're going to be talking about undereating. Why is it so harmful for us to undereat? What does it even look like? And I think for many of us in the diet culture world or in the diet world in general, have been told fewer calories, right? Or just eat 1200 calories a day. And I think maybe those of you listening can probably raise your hand and be like, yes, everybody just keeps telling me if I eat less, move more, or if I'm at a 1200 calorie diet, I'm going to be healthy. And this whole series about the impact of stress is where you come in, Carrie, of talking about the actual stress on the body when we undereat. And I think we need to kind of open that up even more. So why don't you just talk about what is actually happening when we're not fueling our bodies efficiently or even effectively?
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me on. And I love that we get to continue the conversation because it really just goes back to like, we want to be the best that we can to serve those around us and like do all that God has called us to do. And that's definitely my mission, as I know it's closely related to yours. So I feel like it all kind of works towards that. So I love the topic today. This is something that I am honestly learning so much about, even currently, and I'm excited to share a little bit more about it with you because I think where we're at with culture and just in the day and time that we live in, we have so much noise, especially if you've been in, you know, if you've been kind of in the health realm, whether that's alternative health or just like physical, you know, in the working out, bodybuilding type of situation, it's like, we're always very in tune with what should we be eating, what's labeled good and bad, all of that. But that kind of puts us in sort of a not really great place, because we do label things as good and bad. And we do go down this rabbit hole of, well, this is good. I'm a good person. I've done good today, you know, and all of that, right? That's maybe a whole nother topic. But yet we find ourselves eliminating food after food. And oftentimes it leaves us in a place of severe undernourishment. And I know that for so long it was, you know, the low fat craze. And then it was just, if you want to look this way, then you need to eat this amount of calories. And obviously there's definitely different nutrient dense calories versus not. But in general, whenever we undernourish our body, it literally just doesn't give it the fuel it needs to run efficiently. And over time, might not show up right away, but over time, your body is definitely going to be talking to you in various ways, shapes, or forms, right? Oftentimes, this shows up as like low energy. It shows up as possible thyroid issues. Maybe you've gotten, you know, a diagnosis with a thyroid issue, or maybe not, but there's definitely some ways that it can show up there. Even impaired digestion, improper sleep, like you just can't fall asleep, or you can't stay asleep a lot of times is what it is. So there's a lot of different ways that it shows up, but in general, our body is wired to survive. And so if you're not giving it what it needs to feel nourished, there are things that are going to happen because of that, let's say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm glad that you talked about symptoms too, because I don't think we pay enough attention to our bodies, because we've been told, if I do this, then I'm going to get the result. And we ignore headaches, fatigue, tightness in body, joint pain, yeah. You know, just not being able to sleep at night, not going to the bathroom regularly. And we start to equate that as normal. Well, this is just a normal way of living. I'm just going to be tired all the time. I'm just never going to sleep. I'll sleep when I'm dead. You know, like I'm just always going to never be able to use the restroom and feel bloated. And we start to equate these common things as normal, and they're just common. Yeah. And when we think about the 1200 calorie diet and that under eating, I think that's the benchmark. I feel like so many of us, the under eating.
Yeah.
How can women begin to actually push past this ideal of what kind of the health and fitness realm has portrayed? Mm-hmm. So what is like their next step to actually going, well, how do I know if I'm under eating? Yes, I might have these symptoms, but what is the next step for them?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, because you might be like, well, I don't under eat, you know, but do you really know how many calories you're getting in? So that might be a great place for you to start. Like, I don't, maybe you love to track your food. Maybe you're like, I don't want to do that. I'm probably more of the like, I don't want to do that, just because it's just one more thing to do. But yet, just even for a day or two, just to track what you're eating is very important, because you might look up and think, well, goodness, I skip breakfast and then I barely ate something for lunch. And by the time you get to the end of the day, like you really haven't had that much food. So that might be a really great place to start. And just to start opening up your mind to it, and just to be more aware of what you are eating and when you're eating and how you feel. Are you just getting hungry, but then pushing through it? I mean, little things like that. I just feel like being more aware of it is a really easy place to start, because sure, it could get, you know, it could get complicated fast. And I know that just our human minds, is something that's complicated, we're just going to ignore it and keep going, which a lot of times is what happens. So just having that simple cue of writing it down whenever you eat, and the times and what you ate and how you felt after it, is a really great place to start.
We get so stuck on patterns that we forget that we can also break them, right? So if you're eating a 1200 calorie diet, you go, okay, I can have 400 calories for breakfast. I can have 400 calories, you know, for lunch, and 400 calories for dinner. And what happens is we get so obsessed then with the calories that we're afraid to eat actual foods that we enjoy. And what happens then is the binging comes and the overeating and things like that. But is there like a range that you typically tell just active, especially moms listening, to where they probably should stay in that range, even if they're not really working out? Like, I don't want to talk numbers too much, but I think it helps them understand like, wow, I should be eating 300 more calories just for the fact that I'm running my kids around and I'm standing all day or I'm cleaning the house all day. I think we forget that those are still, that's still activity in our body. And we're just only equating our workout or that set time, quote unquote, that we're burning calories in that moment as burned. So can you talk even more into that?
Yeah, definitely. And it's going to be different for everybody, to be honest. I mean, of course we know that. And just with the tracking of your food, I don't want it to be a thing of, you know, just so much structure. Sometimes when we put so much restriction, that that can lead to other issues as well. But I would say a general rule of thumb would be around 12 to 14 calories per pound of body weight. That would be generally, like, some people go as low as 10, but more so in the 12 to 14 range would be a good place to at least start to say, okay, how many calories do I need? And just to look at overall how many you're burning throughout the day, because Jessica's right. I mean, we go throughout our day and we are active. We might not be doing a super intense workout, but yet we are burning calories. And you just have to realize that a stressed out body needs more nourishment. It really does. And I think so many women are sacrificing their health in order to be lean or fit. And it's really showing up. It's really catching up with us. You know, that's just something that you'll probably have to, like, pray about and think about, like, are you really doing that? Would you want to carry 5 to maybe 10 more pounds while you heal, while you're really working on some of these things? Or are you just willing to sacrifice that? You might be ripped and thin and lean, but you're going to have these issues. So I think you have to kind of weigh that and ask yourself and see what your motivation is for showing up.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I wish more people talked about healing and the weight gain, because when I started to come out of the fight or flight mode and that survival mode and the workaholic, over exercising 2 hours a day, intense lifting, I realized that my body started to put on, like, more fat, I guess you could say, because I was more lean and I was so afraid to gain weight. Mm-hmm. And I saw the scale go up, but I was feeling better. And I had to reprogram my brain of, I would rather sleep, have energy, and have some more pounds on me than being miserable, tired all the time, wanting to sleep, cranky, snapping at my friends, snapping at people. And we do that and we think it's common or it's normal. And I was just not nice. And that's what happens when your thyroid gets out of whack and your adrenals, and you know that, Carrie, obviously. Right. But so many things start to happen, and I had started to gain weight, and I was like, oh my gosh, what does this mean about me? My clothes fit differently. I had to, you know, go up a size, and it was a huge renewal process. But I think I wish more people talked about that. Like, hey, your body might gain weight in the healing process, and you can lose it. Or if you're thinner or more of that, I had, like, body dysmorphia and things like that, your body might actually be coming into its actual state, you know?
Right.
So I'm glad that you addressed that, because I think more people need to talk about what could happen. Now, I'm sure that they're wondering, okay, yeah, first of all, like, 12 to 14 per pound. I think if we're doing 1200 calories, what everybody should be weighing, how much? 120 pounds. Everybody's going to be weighing 120 pounds if they're doing it at 10. And you said at least 12 to 14. So right there, it's already higher.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to kind of break through this barrier. So what would you say for women to more focus on beyond the calories? Like, let's get rid of the calories for a minute. What would you have them focus on during the day or during meals? You know, I know you've been getting so much into, like, minerals and things like that, but how can they support their body practically when they are in a stressful season or they are staying up because of the children and things like that?
Yeah. And, you know, when we're talking about calories, it's just, it's such a thing that culture has made it, like, calories in, calories out. But you know, necessarily talking about any calories, right? We're talking about, like, literal nutrient dense foods, and carbs, the things that we're like, oh, you should stay away from carbs. You don't need carbs. Your body runs off of glucose, and that's where it should come from, is carbohydrates. So we need those, protein and carbohydrates at most every time that you eat would be a good rule of thumb. And I know that it might seem like, well, I don't know what to eat at first if you're kind of making this shift, but just don't make it so complicated, right? You know, eat something and see how you feel after it, you know, and repeat. I think sometimes we literally want a list of these are the foods that I need to eat. And of course, we know what foods are more nutrient dense than others, but I just think everybody's individualized. And just the fact that we feel like we need the list is probably a good indication that we have been trained by culture or by our past experiences that these foods are good and these foods are bad. And I'm really, again, I think we're all sort of in our own healing journey, but I'm definitely in mine with this because for years and years, I did different types of diets, not necessarily to lose weight, just for health reasons, right? These foods are inflammatory. These foods aren't. Yes. So I think that was just part of my journey and it might be yours too. And I don't discount any of that, but I've come to a place to realize oftentimes it's not necessarily the food that have been labeled bad. It's that we're putting so much stress on our body from various ways that it literally just can't do what it needs to do. It's not necessarily this one food is causing all of these issues. Mm. So I would just try to make it really simple. And the fat, the carb and the protein, just try to make them as nutrient dense as possible. And, you know, I just think about it like, well, what did our grandparents eat? You know, what kind of going back to just our heritage and our roots, going back to that when things weren't so processed, what were they eating? Some of those foods have been really demonized, such as like dairy. And of course the animal products too, just depending on, you know, what kind of camp you've fallen into in the past. But I just think like God made those foods. And somewhere along the way, they kind of got skewed, whether it was overprocessing. Sure, that can happen. But I just think overall that is a good thing that, good rule of thumb. What did our ancestors eat?
I want to park for a minute on the fact that you said it's not just the food, because we get so segmented and compartmentalized in our brain that this is my food, this is my workout, this is my finances, this is my relationship. And we forget that all of them bleed together. You know, our body is not made up into a puzzle piece, as in we're like disconnected. It's one whole piece working together. And can you just speak a little bit more into the stress factors that can cause even the weight gain, or just not even weight gain, but where you just feel puffy all the time or bloated, the outside stressors that are beyond just food? Because I don't think women actually think about that too, of maybe it's because of these outside things that I'm having a hard time losing weight, or, you know, I'm having this reaction to dairy or to gluten or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah, sure. You know, I just think about like the typical, you know, mom, for instance, addicted to busy, being on the phone all the time, needing coffee in the morning or throughout the day, and then alcohol maybe at night. Oops, you forgot to eat all morning, you know, easily triggered, irritated. I mean, it's just like hashtag mom life. And I'm like, no, I don't want that to be an example for my kids. I don't want to show up that way every day. And just realizing like, not only is that bleeding into, you know, you're showing up as a wife and a mom, right? I mean, just going to being irritated all day. Like that is something that I think we've just thrown off on. Oh, I'm just busy. It's just our stage of life. But, and I get there's some things that we can't control, but yet there's something physiologically going on if you're constantly on edge all the time and literally cannot relax. And it's most of the time that we're just addicted to this cortisol that we have in our body all the time. And we're addicted to these stress hormones. It just creates a huge cascade of issues in our body. It probably starts with the thyroid, and then it moves to the adrenals, and then it, you know, impairs digestion and your liver function and just all of these different things. And it literally comes from this overabundance of stress hormones that are constantly going through our veins. And, And two, I've talked to a lot of my clients about, you know, reducing stressors and whatnot and kind of the effects of them, as I mentioned, and they're like, well, I don't feel stressed, you know, and given stress, it shows up in a lot of different ways. Stress is definitely can be mental, can be physical as far as under eating or over exercising. It can be from chemicals in our environment. Definitely that can cause stress on our body. But really what I feel it's just, it's the combination of all of those that are making our body in a more stressed state. And that's just a recipe for disaster on a lot of different levels, mm-hmm. as far as how we're treating our body. It's just crying out for help. And yet we're making it do what we want it to do or thinks it needs to do. But it'll definitely talk to you if you listen, right?
Yeah. I was just going to say that your body sooner or later is going to be like, listen, Linda, we can't go any further, right? Like you're right. going to, and I feel like I was hitting that point, you know, passing out on an airplane and having all those symptoms. I was like, okay, I'm listening, because it was more important for the appearance. And I put that in air quotes to what I look like, what I was achieving versus what I was actually feeling and experiencing. Mm-hmm. And that was huge for me, because for so long, I just believed that I had to be something or do something or, you know, have that perfect body. And I think that's what so many of us strive for with the weight loss is, what is this going to look like? And I do want the listeners to know, like, Carrie's a mom. I'm not, but, you know, for Carrie talking about the mom life, I think that's important because it is coming from another mom. She's not just saying that because, you know, she's not, and it sounds really pretty, but the fact that you are really challenging the narrative about, you know, hashtag mom life or, you know, the things that come with the cultural ways of, we just have to be messy and busy all the time, right? Like messy life, hot mess, all of those things. And I think it's important that we begin to obviously walk through those and why do we feel like we have to live up to that?
Right.
Now that we're kind of transitioning into that healing and you're talking about stressors, I think a lot of women, when they hear that, they're like, I just can't stop running my life. I mean, how am I going to do these things? And I'm sure you, again, you hear this all the time. What are some practical, I say boundaries, because sometimes when we hear boundaries, we think it's just exclusion, meaning what am I pushing away? But really it's what can you handle, right? You know, what are the things that you're capable of doing? So can you talk, as we wrap this episode up, just some helping them with maybe the women that are struggling to eat more calories or to be able to step into healing or to deal with the stressors coming in so that they can get healthy? What are some maybe like boundaries and practices that you like to tell your clients or that you'd recommend for them to begin this healing journey?
First off, like, you just got to have grace. You know, we just put so much pressure on ourselves, whether it's as a mom or a wife or in our job, there's just so many different areas that it could come from. And I just know that, like, we have to give it all to God. I mean, we have to give it to lay it out the cross, like leave it, and just realize that there is so much grace and just freedom in that, because we want to measure up and we want to be our best. Sure. Those aren't necessarily innately bad things, but it's just the driver of those things. It needs to change a little bit. And so having grace in that, praying about it, of course. And just letting God lead you, because I really truly feel like he will, if we'll let him. A lot of times we feel like we know best and can really get caught up in looking around and seeing what other people are doing and in comparison and all that. So I just feel like having the right intention is important. Also having the right expectations is important too, because you didn't get like this overnight and it's going to take a while. And I don't mean that in like a, this is never going to happen type of way. I just mean that, like, it's not going to happen in a week, in a month. It's probably going to take, you know, upwards of 6 months to just change your narrative and ease into this. Because if you have been under eating and then you go to eating twice the amount of food, that's not really good either. So it has to be sort of this slower transition in that way. And that can really backfire if you go from this all or nothing mentality. And again, that's a mentality, and you do gain all this weight. What are you going to do? You're probably going to go right back to under eating because you don't feel good in your skin. Right. So it just has to be this gradual thing. And just, again, the grace factor is really important. And I do think that the exercise piece is important, because if you're realizing that you're under eating, but you're also over exercising, that's kind of not a really good combination. So just think about how you could possibly, you know, downgrade that a little bit, maybe walking, just maybe less intensity, less amount of time. Again, I think so often we have this all or nothing mentality, and it's like, well, they said exercising isn't good, so now I'm not going to exercise at all. Not yeah. saying that. And I'm also not saying that you should just go out and eat excess either. I really think it goes back to your intentions and why you find yourself in that, and really trying to reframe that so that you can ease into this and really find a good place for you, because just like the calorie range or the foods that might be good, I lean towards not giving like strict recommendations on that, because again, I don't want people to just constantly feel like they need to be told what to do. Because really, if you were to be more in tune with your body and with, you know, how, what it's telling you, you'll come to a good place for yourself. I realize that it's good to have, you know, general guidelines on that, but I just feel like that's so much part of this journey. That's a part of the healing journey too. Not only looking at, you know, we're talking sort of about under eating, not necessarily just looking at what you're eating, but the whole picture, as Jessica mentioned, is really important. But as far as the timeline, you know, like I said, upwards of 6 months for your hormones to begin to balance, for your blood sugar to balance, for your thyroid to improve, for your stress to lower, you know, all of these different things. If your body's been stressed for a long time, probably the longer that you're going to need to focus on this. But like I said, I don't want that to be sort of in a bad way. I just think it's such a beautiful journey that the Lord is with us on, and that we can learn so much on. And even though it might be frustrating at times, I just feel like there's so much goodness for us to take in with it.
I'm glad that you touched on the slow process. You know, if you're eating 1200 calories, you don't want to just jump up to 1600 calories if you're not used to it. Mm-hmm. It's slowly adding in those meal or the calories and the food in at the meals, right? It's yeah. not something that's big, especially, you know, I used to share my food all the time. And then I started healing, was like, I don't want to share my food anymore, because I don't want people to get so consumed with what I'm eating that they start eating it thinking it's going to give them the results, because that's how I used yeah. to be when mm-hmm. I would follow fitness people. I'd be like, what supplements are they taking? What pre-workout are they taking? What can, you know, yeah. I do that is like this mystery that's working for them, you know? Mm-hmm. And then even with workouts, you know, I take so many more breaks now, shorter workouts, because I'm yeah. trying to heal my thyroid, and I can't push these big workouts anymore because I'll end up tired and exhausted, and that's right. not fun, you know? No. So, mm-hmm. Just learning, you know, to, like you said so many times, to listen to the cues that your body is telling you, I think is one of the biggest, like for me, biggest steps in the awareness. Yeah. So Carrie, thank you just so much for being here. Where do you want people to go just to even ask questions if they have more questions? Because yeah. first of all, guys, make sure you follow her on Instagram. She's been doing some really awesome, fun things like adrenal cocktails. Today, you just made gummies. I've seen yeah. other people making gummies. So you guys definitely want to follow her on Instagram. But is there anywhere else that you want people to go to learn more?
Yeah, Instagram is a great place to message me, because then I can send a little voice memo, and it's just so much easier to kind of communicate that way. But I mean, my website, I try to make it like a hub for all the things. So I link my YouTube videos there on a blog, and all my services are there. And I just try to add value, of course, but that will be another great place. And you can always email me, carrie@carriecootie.com, if that's better for you. But I just love having conversations around this, because it's not cut and dry. And I personally love talking, like being on a journey with someone. And I realize that like everybody might not be a great fit to work with me for longer periods of time, but even just in DMs, you know, just having a relationship and conversation there, it's just something that I really get a lot of joy from. So I would love to meet you over there.
Yeah, you're definitely one of my go-to people too. In my newsletter I sent out, I made them follow. I didn't make them. I recommended them to follow you in one of my emails because of the adrenal cocktail. And I was like, hey, what about this adrenal cocktail powder? Because we always want like the next best, like easy powder. And I was like, okay, I'll just use it for, you know, when I travel and stuff to make it easier. But guys, she's definitely a wealth of information. So make sure you follow her on Instagram. And Carrie, just again, thanks so much for jumping on here with me and sharing your wisdom.
It's my pleasure. I just love having these conversations, and I'm just remember, there's so much grace, and I'm praying for you guys as you're moving through your health journey. And if I can be of any help to you, I would love to. Thanks for having me.